Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, the daf for Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayishlach Tovshin Ayin Gimel, is daf Nun Tes in Masechus Shabbos. We pick up a few lines from the bottom on daf Nun Ches on the base, where the Gemara continues the halachos of Tuma for a bell. Amar Mar, Nitzlu in Belayin Adayin Tumasan Aleihem. If the clapper of a bell is removed, it still can contract tuma. Asks the Gemara, in order to be able to contract tuma, it needs to have a status of a kli. Only a kli is mekabel tuma. Lemai chazi, what is it worth? What purpose does it have? Amar Abaye answered, Hol shehedit yochol lachziro. Since a simple person can. Since it's simple to put back the inbal, the clapper that's inside, so then in such a case, it is not undone in its status of a kli and contracts tuma. Masiv Rava, Rava asked the following question. Hazugva inbal chibur. We learned that the bell itself and its inbal, the clapper inside, is considered a chibur. We've already discussed this expression, chibur, from Para Perik Yud Beis Mishneh Ches. We discussed it earlier on Mem Ches Amud Beis in the context of utensils that are taken apart and joined together. Chibur means that if part of it contracts tuma, then the entire kli is considered tame. Similarly, the Mishnah in Parah describes the inverse would also apply on the average utensil, and that is that if part of it receives the water of the paraduma to purify it from Tumas Meis, then the entire kli becomes tahar. We see hazug ve'imbal chibur, that they're considered attached. Rava's question is that if the Mishnah uses the expression of chibur, the Mishnah is saying that they're considered one unit only when they're physically attached, which would infer that if they're separated, they're no longer considered a unit. And if that would be so, we're considering it a separate unit, despite the fact that it could be put together simply by an individual. Therefore, we're attacking. How could Mar say that if it lost the inbal, it's still considered attached? The Mishnah in Parah seems to say when it's attached, it's considered attached. Mashma, that when it's separated, it's not considered attached. V'chitei ma'achi kamer. If you're going to want to say that the Mishnah is saying, afel gavdolo mechaber kimande mechaber domi, that even when it's not attached, we consider it attached. Why? Because it could be put together by a simple person. Vatanya, but that's not true. Misporis shel prokim. If one has scissors that one at times attaches together, at times separate. Vizemel shel rehitni. And a type of artisan's shears. Chibur l'tuma ve'ein chibur l'hazra. Is considered attached only that if part of the scissors comes in contact with tuma, the other part becomes tame. But if part of the scissors is purified from the paraduma, then the other part is not considered purified. Vamrinan, and we analyzed manav shach. I chiburu afil laza vi lo chiburu afil tuma nami lo. How could you say that it's only a chibur lechumra, but not when you're being metarit? Va'amar Rabba, and Rabba answered, Dvar Torah, b'shas melacha chibur bein l'tuma bein l'haza, that really, mina Torah, when you're using it as one object, as a unified object, it would contract tuma and contract purity in its totality. However, shelo b'shas melacha, when it's not being used and normally held together, often they would take apart the two sides of the scissors, ein chibur lo l'tuma v'lo l'haza, it would not be considered attached. And Chazal made a middle gzeira. In other words, a gzeira midrabanan, which accepted it in one direction and not in the other direction. Minat Torah be clear. That would always be considered a chibur when you're doing work with it, and would never be considered a chibur when you're not doing work with it. V'gazu al tumah shelo b'shas melacha, and they made a gzeira on tumah shelo b'shas melacha, mishum tumah shi b'shas melacha. If we're going to tell people that there is no tumah at the time that the person is working with it, then we are afraid people are going to say, you don't have to worry about tumah on the other side of the scissors, even when it contracted tumah b'shas melacha. So they were gazra al tumah shelo b'shas melacha, mishum tumah shi b'shas melacha. And similarly, va'azah shi b'shas melacha, and hazah that really is effective when it's the object is attached at the time of work, mishum hazah shelo b'shas melacha, because of when the hazah will be done shelo b'shas melacha, we're afraid that they are not going to differentiate between b'shas melacha, where it is a legitimate chibur, and hazah shelo b'shas melacha, where the hazah on one side of the scissors will not be effective for the other side of the scissors. So we see clearly that Chazal really believed that the only time they're considered one entity is when they're attached. And when they're not attached, really, alfi dinei Torah, then there's no relationship between the two sides of the scissors, both in terms of Tumah as well as Hazah. However, midrabbanan, we created the Chumrah of Tumah, even though min haTorah that is not correct, versus Hazah, which is a Kula, we did not allow that midrabbanan. Bottom line is that Chibur means literally Chibur, and that we considered the utensils attached only when they're physically attached. If that's so, then we're stuck. Why is it when it comes to nitlu in Belehen, the halacha is adayin tumasan alehen? Elama Rava, rather Rava gives another teretz. Holva roi lakisho agabi cheres. Since he is able to use the bells, even without the clapper inside, the inbal inside, he could bang the bell on top of a clay shard. So too, he can bang the bell on a clay shard, and it still has a purpose. Therefore, this utensil can contract tumah. Itmar nami amr Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, hol v'roi lahakisho agabe acheres, since it can be banged on a clay shard. Period. Rabbi Yochanan amar, and this is going to be the focus for the next amud, Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rabbi Yochanan suggests there's an entirely different reason why a bell whose clapper inside has been removed still contracts tumah. You can use the bell to hold water for an infant. In other words, the object doesn't have to be used for its original purpose. It could be used for another purpose. And in this instance, used to hold water for a child. Now, the Gemara analyzes this with a brilliant but slightly complicated raya. The Gemara questions this basic approach as being legitimate to Rabbi Yochanan's own worldview. Rabbi Yochanan lo boi me'ein malacha rishona. Does Rabbi Yochanan not require that a utensil maintain its original purpose? In other words, what would happen if the utensil originally was a bell and is now being used as a baby bottle? Is that considered a utensil, just like it was a utensil before, it's a utensil now? Or do we say, Ba'i me'e malacha rishona, it requires its original purpose for it to retain its status as a utensil? And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan lo bai? Does Rabbi Yochanan not require me'e malacha rishona? I'll prove it to you. Va'atanya, we learn the following in a braisa. The pasuk says, in regards to tumas medris, there's different types of tumah. One type of tumah is the tumah of medris, which teaches that if someone who is tameh, let's say, for example, a zav, or a zava, a nida, a balkari, that sit down on pillows, medras, something that's normal for a person to walk on or sit on, that pillow becomes tame. However, it needs to be a kli that is normally used for sitting. Analyzes the brayso, v'chol kli asher yoshav alav, yochol kafa sa'a. Sa'a is a measurement, but it's also is used to describe a utensil that measured a saw. It was a measuring dish as well. Yachal kaf a saw. If a person turned over a large dish like a saw, v'yashav alav, and he sat in it, kaf a tarkav. Tarkav is another measuring dish that is a half a saw. V'yashav alav and sat in it, yehi tameh. I would think that he is tameh, the utensil is tameh. Tamalom asha yashav alav hazav. Only that which a zav sits on. Okay, well, zav sat on it. Misha miyuchad li yeshiva. Kol kli asher yashav alav indicates, Chazal understand, there needs to be something that's designated for sitting. Yatzazeh, as opposed to this one, sha'omrim lo amod v'nasim lachtenu. If someone would come along and needed to do work, they would and that included measuring out their food, they wouldn't think twice asking someone, please stand up so we could use our utensil for its original purpose. In other words, in order, according to the Tanakhama, in order to contract tumah, one is going to require that that object be used in its prototypical fashion. If that object would elicit the response, amod v'nasa melachtenu, in such a case, the object doesn't contract the tumah. Rebbe Lazar echoes this position, but qualifies. Rebbe Lazar amar bibidrasos omrim amod v'nasa melachtenu, won't contract tumah if on this object people would say, stand up, we need to use it for its original purpose. However, ve'ein omrim b'tmei meis amod v'nasa melachtenu, we would not say that to an object that became a tamei mace. Just like medris can become an avatoma when someone, a zav, sits on top of it, so too, when you have an object that touches a mace, it becomes an av hatoma. Now, Rabbi Elazar is referring to the following case when it comes to tamei mace, as Rashi describes in Dibra Maschil v'ein omrim. What happens if a utensil, let's say a jug, came in contact with a mace and now becomes an avatoma, and then it broke? It no longer could serve the purpose the jug originally served. There, in such a case, an individual would say to him, the jug now figuratively, amod v'nasam lachtenu, stand up and now serve your purpose. It won't be able to. Does that phenomenon that the jug is now broken, but still a legitimate size of tumah of 3x3, in such a case, disqualify it and remove it from the state of tumah? Or no? When it comes to tmei meis, even though it can no longer be amod v'nasam lachtenu, it'll still retain its tumah. Rebbe Lazar says, ein omrim b'tmei meis amod v'nasam lachtenu. And therefore, if it's broken, it still can contract tumah. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan mar af omer b'tmei meis amod v'nasam lachtenu, and if it's broken, it no longer has its original status, its previous status of tumah. So we have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan over here says that if it doesn't attain its original purpose, like a jug that is broken, so then in such an instance it will not contract to mei meis. In other words, it needs its mei'ein melacha rishona. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say when it came to the bell that even though it no longer can serve as a bell, melacha rishona, nevertheless, since it could carry water, it will still contract tumah? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan himself need me'ein melacha rishona, as we see that he requires amod v'nasa melachtenu? And if it's broken, then it doesn't retain its tumah. So Gemara answers, epach kamaisa, you've got to switch around the original machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Chanina. In other words, two lines on the top, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said that the bell could be used to bang on a piece of shard, and Rabbi Yochanan said it could be used as a baby bottle. Let's switch the opinions around. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that banging on the shard, and Rabbi Yosef Chanina holds as a baby bottle. Asks the Gemara, my chazis de apchis kamaisa, aipach besraisa. Why do you feel the need to change this position of Rabbi Yochanan in his explanation of the bell? Maybe say Rabbi Yochanan is not the one who holds when it comes to tmei meis amod v'nasim lachtenu. Maybe he holds like the middle position of Rabbi Lazar. By midrasos, you say amod v'nasim lachtenu, not by tmei meis. And there, you would say that it doesn't need to be me'ein melacha rishona. Says the Gemara, you can't say that. Umay chazis de ipchis kamaisa ipch basraisa hashamina le Rabbi Yochanan de boy me'ein melacha rishona. We already learned that Rabbi Yochanan needs the original melacha to be done to contract tumah. What happens if you have a shoe, like a horseshoe, that was put on the bottom of an animal and then used for another type of purpose? Does it contract tumah or not? Sandal shel behema shel mateches tamei. The halacha is, the Mishnah tells us in Kalin Perik Yudalit, that a shoe that's of metal can contract tumah. Asks the Gemara, lemai chazi, what type of purpose does it have? Rashi adds that if it would just serve the animal and have no other purpose, there's no way that it'll be able to be mekabel tumah. Why? Because there's ein tachshit lebehema, and for that reason, it's not a kli to contract tumah. Amarav, roi lishtos bo mayim b'milchama. You could use it that during the wartime, so then they would actually use this utensil for drinking water. Rabbi Chanina amar roi lishtos bo shemen b'milchama. You could use it to anoint oil with it during war. Obviously, people would generally not use it, but wartime, desperate times, desperate actions. Rabbi Yochanan amar b'shoshe b'reach min akrav. The way to protect oneself from the kotzin, the thorns, if a person, for whatever reason, lost his army boots, he would even put on a sandal shel behema to run away from the enemy. First, before we bring out the proof, the Gemara needs to spell out the nafkaminas between Rav, Rav Chanin, and Rabbi Yochanan. Ma bein Rav lo Rabbi Chanin? What's the difference between Rav, who says, Roy l'shtos b'mayim, Rav Chanin, who says, Roy l'shtos b'shemen? What would the halacha be if this sandal was disgusting? Rashi explains that if it would be disgusting, the person wouldn't drink from it, but he would still... However, it would still be possible to use it, and wouldn't be disgusting to use it for oil, and therefore, according to Rabbi Chanina, it would still contract tumah. Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, ike benayu diyakir. Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan who said it could be used when you would run away, what happens if it's yakir? Now, in modern Hebrew, the word yakar means expensive, but the word yakar could also mean heavy, as Rashi explains. Yakir here would be heavy. If you can't wear it to run away because it's heavy, then it doesn't serve a purpose for a person. Rabbi Yochanan here is of the opinion that would not contract tumah if a person cannot use it as a shoe. Why? It could still be used for shtia and sicha, possibly. The answer is because it needs to be me'ein melacha rishayna. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time it's going to contract or retain tumah is if it's me'ein melacha rishayna. The Gemara has concluded its analysis in regards to the bell and its status of tumah, and now the Gemara continues analyzing back to Hilchos Shabbos about the ir shel zahav. The Mishnah had told us v'lo b'ir shel zahav that a woman is not allowed to go out with a golden city. My b'ir shel zahav, what does that mean? Rabba bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim didava, Yerushalayim has shel zahav, the Yerushalayim that is golden. As Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. There was a beautiful style in the time of the Tanaim, in the time of Rabbi Akiva, to make a ornament of Yerushalayim, the skyline, possibly, of Yerushalayim, in a ornament that was placed on the forehead. Rashi explains that the significance of it is in the Gemara Nedarim Daf Nun Amud Aleph. What a beautiful and poignant description, where the Gemara Nedarim, of course, tells the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, who got married to Rachel, the daughter of Kabbal Savua, and he didn't know anything. Rachel gave everything up because she saw the persistence in Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara describes that Rabbi Akiva and Rachel had absolutely nothing. Kabbal Savua disowned his daughter, and they had nothing, and they slept on hay in the little room that they had, and in the morning, Rabbi Akiva would take out the straw from Rachel's hair, and he said, oh, I wish for all your Mesiris Nefesh for me that I would be able to get for you a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. The Gemara does not say that Rabbi Akiva did it, although the Yerushalmi seems to say that Rabbi Akiva did, that he ultimately, as the Gemara describes the drama of when Rabbi Akiva came back with his Talmidim, and it seems that Rabbi Akiva ultimately was Zoche to buy this for his wife. Point number two, the Gemara Tosis on Nuntesam et al. Points out that the Gemara in Sota Memtesam Ebeis, all the way on the bottom of Nuntesam et al. Tosis, two last lines on the bottom of the Amud, says that it's prohibited for a Kala to go out with this crown of gold, of Ir Shel Zahav. So how could it be that our Gemara says permissible? And the Tosis answers that you must say that the Gemara in Sota is discussing, a kala specifically is not supposed to wear it. Hence, there is another tradition that we have, like similar to what we do when we break the glass under the chuppah, of going out of one's way to make sure that there still is a remembrance through all the simcha and all the joy of simchas chasan lekala, that our right hand, tidbak lishoni lechiki imlo askerechi, imlo alis yushalayim rosh simchasi. Gemara continues. Tan rabbanan leseitze isha bir shel zav. A woman is not allowed to go out with the golden city on the ornament. Vim yatsa chayiv chatas. This is a big chidush that the Gemara is saying that if she goes out, she's chayiv a chatas. Now, up until now, most of the ornaments that we've been discussing, jewelry and so on, whether it's mutter or rasa, was only a fear that she might come to carry. Over here, it says it's an isur d'oraisa. Gemara will explain divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'chachonim marim leseitze. This is more conventional. Chacham say you're not allowed to go out because we're afraid she's going to come to take it off and carry. Vim yatsisa, if she went out with it, then by definition, p'tura, she's potter, but she wasn't over in Isra unless she ended up taking it off and carrying it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yotza isha b'isha b'ir shel zahav, l'chatchila. Rabbi Eliezer holds that's l'chatchila mutter. But Michael Miflegi, what is the crux of these three opinions in this Tosefta in Perek Hei? Says the Gemara, this is the following Hezbollah. Reb Meir Sava, Reb Meir holds Masuihu. We consider it Mamish a burden. In other words, it's not considered at all a takshit, as if she's carrying anything else in her hand, like a pocketbook or anything like that. It's a Masui. Rabban Savri Takshitu. Rabbanan say we look at it as being jewelry as well. However, it's going to be awesome. Rabbanan Dilma Shalfi Machvile Vasa Suye. She might take it off to show off to her friends. Blazar Savar. Blazar is an interesting svar to be matir entirely. Man Darkal Mefik Bir Shel Zav. Who normally goes out with these ornaments? Isha Chashuva, a very well-respected woman who's also relatively wealthy. V'isha chashuv, and if she's so respected, then generally these women don't show off. Usually the people who show off their money are the ones who don't really have a lot. The ones who have a lot don't feel a need to show off. It's the ones who are insecure, I'm adding the editorial comment, who need to show off their money. V'isha chashuva lo mishlefo mechavi, she won't feel the need to show off. Look at what I have. Period. So we have different opinions as far as whether one is allowed to go out with the ear shel zahav. Klila. This ornament on the forehead was also referred to as a klila that was tied from, it was on the forehead, and it was held up from ear to ear. Some of them, as Rashi will bring out later on in the sugya, were made out of gold, and some were made out of some type of cloth and weaved together. Here there's a machlokis, what one is allowed to do in regards to a klila. Rav Asar Ushmuel Shari. Rav says it's prohibited, and Shmuel says it's permissible. Daniska, the one that is made out of gold, either the metal of gold, or for that matter as well, silver. So there, says the Gemara, Kule Amalo Pligi de Asur. Everybody agrees that it is Asur. One would not be allowed to go out with it. And here it seems both Rav and Shmuel are concerned that the woman is going to take it off and show it to her friends. Keep pleading, when is there a machlok? Is it some hold mutter, some hold asr? Da aruksa. When it is made out of, it's not a metal base. It's made out of a hide. So then in such a case, we have machlokas. Mar savar niska ikur. On the one hand, there's metal that's used to make the ear shel zahav. On the other hand, the background is leather. Hence, someone holds its asur because he says the metal is the isur, the gold or the silver. Umar savar ruksa ikur, and other holds its mutter because the ikur is the leather. Ravashi masni l'kula. Ravashi had a more lenient reading on this whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The aruksa de kule amalo pligi de shari. Everybody held that the leather base was permissible. They're not likely to take it off. Ki pligi da niska. Even when it comes to metal, there's some who are lenient. Mar savar dilma shel b'machiv vasa suye. Some are afraid that she might show it off. Mar savar man darkel mefik b'klila. The same svara that we had above of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is, what's the instance, of a person that will come that's going to wear these things? It's going to be a woman who's a chashuva. V'isha chashuva lo shilfu mechavi, and she doesn't show off her money. Period. Tosas in Dibur HaMaskel Mandarka claims that even this Svara of Isha Chashuva we only evoke in regards to Ir Shel Zahav. However, all other Tachshitin are going to be Osir even for an Isha Chashuva. It's not entirely clear how Tosas differentiates between an Ir Shel Zahav and other types of jewelry, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, the Gemara was only Matur in that case, and Tosas were afraid to be matter in any other cases of jewelry. Hence, even in Isha Chashuva, we're afraid when it comes to jewelry of her taking it off and showing it to her friend. How this applies for jewelry today, in terms of women wearing outside of an Erev, Bezer Hashem, we will devote one of the next halacha topics from the Daily Daf to that issue. The Gemara continues 12 lines from the top. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Bar Chanan Rav Yosef. Beferish Amrit La Mishmei De Rav. It was expressly quoted in the Reim of Rav. Klila Shari. That this Klila, this forehead ornament, is permissible for the woman to go out with. And we gave some Svaris above from the Amoraim why that would be so. The Gemara now continues with these halachos, quoting an interesting statement in the Beis Medrash, and an interesting bit of history in the development of the yeshivas of Rebbe. Amrle l'Rav. It was told to Rav. Asur gavra rabba arika. There was a tall man who came l'nahardo umitaleya, and he also limps. V'dorish, and he was dorish klila shari, that the head ornament is permissible. Amar. Rav tried to figure out who it was. Mangav Rabba Arika Ditla, Levi. It must be you're talking about Levi, that Levi came to visit here to Narda, and he paskin Kalila is permissible. Shmamina, now Rav did some detective work. Fascinating Gemara. Shmamina, says Rav, I hear from this, Noch Navshe de Rebbe Ephes, that Rebbe Ephes, who was the next Rosh Yeshiva after Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi passed away, as we will see in a moment, that he had passed on. He was Nifter. V'yosef Rebbe Chanina Bresha. And Rebbe Chanina, says Rav, is now the Rosh Yeshiva. This is all Rav's inference from what they had told him about Levi coming, and his inference that it was Levi. V'lo havi lei inish Levi l'misav gabe. And Levi didn't have a person to sit by, v'ka'asi lahacha, and that's why he came here. Rashi explains that after the Ptira of Rebbe, there was a discussion who should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Originally, Rebbe himself had said that Rebbe Chanina was supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. However, Rebbe Chanina demurred. And the reason he did, a tremendous lesson of modesty, is Rebbe Ephes was 2 years older than him. And Rebbe Chanina felt that he should not take the position, even though Rebbe had recommended him for that position. What a lesson of Ahnava. Here is the successor to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Rebbe Chanina deferred to someone who was older than him, and he would not go into the Beis Medrash when Rebbe Ephes was Rosh Yeshiva in order to make clear who the ruling party, if you will, was. So Rebbe Chanina used to sit in his own corner in a room somewhere else. Levi, Rashi explains, went to keep Rebbe Chanina company. If Levi has come here, infers Rav, then it must be that Rebbe Chanina is no longer sitting alone, because Levi would never have left him. What must have happened? Rebbe Ephes must have passed away, and Rebbe Chanina must have taken over. This is all the detective work of Rav. This is all the things that Rav infers. Asks the Gemara, V'dilma nach nafshe de Rebbe Chanina. How did Rav make such a diuk? You could have said the opposite. You could have said that Rebbe Chanina had passed away, Rebbe Ephes kidekoi koi, and Rebbe Ephes has stayed on as Rosh Yeshiva. V'lo avilei inish Levi l'meisiv gabe, and Levi lost his chavrusa, not because he was moved up to Rosh Yeshiva, but because his chavrusa had passed away, because he lach and he came here. Answers the Gemara, no, Rav made a beautiful diuk. Im isid Rebbe Chanina shachiv, Levi l'Rebbe Ephes, makif havikayifle. Number one, Levi would have himself deferred to Rabbi Ephes. He would have just gone. Once Rabbi Chanina passed away, he would have gone to Rabbi Ephes. He was there to keep Rabbi Chanina company. Vesu, and another fantastic point, the Rabbi Chanina lo sagi de lo malach. It couldn't be that Rabbi Chanina did not become Rosh Yeshiva before he passed away. Because when Rebbe was dying, as described in a very dramatic Gemara in Ksuvis Andaf Kuf Gimel, Amar Chanina Rebbe Chama Yosef Berosh. Rebbe declared a successor. It's always important for a Rav, Rosh Yeshiva, Manig, to declare a successor before he passes away. I don't need to elaborate on all of the instances where Klal Yisrael has suffered because a successor was not made. And Rebbe was a Chacham, Shein of Berosho, and he declared Chanina Rebbe Chama Yosef Berosh. Uksiv Bohu Betzadikim, and it says by Tzadik in the Pasuk in Iov, Perek Chavbe, says, Vatigzar Omer Vayokom, Vayokom Lach, and there it's talking about Tzadikim, that when Tzadikim give a Gzeira, then the Gzeira stands, very reminiscent to the famous expression, Tzadik Goyzer Vakodesh Baruchu Mikayim. The Gemara wraps up the shugya of klila, this head ornament, with a few other halacha lemaisa statements from Levi and others. Darish Levi ben Arda. Levi had darshan and Arda, as we mentioned earlier. Klila shari, that the forehead ornament is permissible, and immediately nafik esrin v'arba klili. There were 24 forehead ornaments that went out. In other words, that once the leher that was mutter, then from Nahar Da, women began to wear it. Beforehand, the Rav didn't say it was mutter. They didn't. The women listened. Mikul in Nahar Da, out of all of Nahar Da. Darsh Rav Baravu Mimechuza, Rav Baravu say Mechuza Klila Shari, that Kli was permissible. Venafku, Tavni Sri Klili, and 18 ornaments. In other words, women wearing these ornaments went out. Michada Muva, even from one alleyway, 18 went out. And as they had it, but they didn't wear it until the Rav said that it was mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kamra Shari. It's permissible to wear a choshev hat. A very nice hat was known as a kamra. Ika da'arma da'aruksa. Some said it was made out of a strap with gold. Va'amar Rav Safra, and Rav Safra said the reason it's mutter is midi da'avi atalis muzheves. That just like a golden talis is permissible, it's not considered a masa. So too, a hat is also considered a tachshit, and therefore mutter. It's a very nice one, but it's acceptable. V'igadamer aniska, and some say that this hat was made entirely out of gold and silver. V'amar Rav Safra midahave avnicha malachim, and Rav Safra explained that it's like a hat of kings, and it would be acceptable. Now, the Gemara quotes a suffix that Ravina had with Ravashi. Amale Ravina le Ravashi. Kamra alav himyone mai. If you put this on top of this hat, this avnei shamalachim, this kamra, if you put it on top of another hat, by tying it together with a himyona, is that acceptable? Or is that not acceptable? One hat on top of another hat. Amalei, he said to him, Treyim yane tamarta, are you asking about simply two hats? Why would two hats be acceptable? It should be for sure considered a masa. A weight. Amar Ravashi taught, Hayri sucha, this part of a coat, which was a belt. In other words, the belt of a coat, if it has strands that are coming out, shari, it's permissible. Because then we're not afraid that it's going to fall off. However, if it does not have it, in other words, there was this garment that was wrapped around the body, but it didn't have a ritzua, then it would be prohibited to go out with it on Shabbos. So smafrechiyasa was a garment that was wrapped around the body. However, the only time it's going to be permissible to go out with it is if it has a ritzua that will hold it in place, something like a belt that would hold it in place. However, if it doesn't, then the halacha is that it will be aser. We explained the Gemara according to Rashi. According to the Rif and Rabbeinu Hananel, the Mafrech Yasa is a belt, as we started out saying before, and only a belt, not part of a larger garment. And if it had strings that were coming out, and that's what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says it has Mafrech Yasa, that means small strands are going out. The Resuka, which is a belt, would be mutter only if it has a Mafrech Yasa going out. If it does not, then it's prohibited to wear the Resuka. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Nuntes, and we now go on to the Halacha section. Be'ezras Hashem Yisparech, our Halacha topic from Daf Nuntes, is a subject that most people, or many, have not thought a lot about because their mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers did not worry about this Shaila, it seemed, and therefore it's sort of gone under the radar in terms of many details of the halachos. Of course, we can't get involved with all details when we're doing halacha from the daily daf, but when one learns the Gemaras, one finds a discrepancy between the concerns of the Gemaras and people's behavior today, and that is particularly in regards to jewelry, wearing jewelry on Shabbos. Nuntes Amud Beis, and for that matter, the entire perek of Bama Isha, deals with the different types of jewelry that a woman can and cannot wear on Shabbos. When was the last time that when you went to buy jewelry, you thought about whether you could wear that piece of jewelry on Shabbos or you can't? Our Gemara took it very seriously. The Gemara spoke about an ear shell zahav, that it could be that for some people they can because they're not likely to take it off, and other people cannot because they will take it off. In general, the Gemara seems to be concerned, unless a very wealthy woman, we are concerned about her taking off her jewelry to show her friends, and they might come to carry. What happened to that chashash bizman hazeh? It's actually more of a mystery than most halachos. In Simin Shun Yud Shin Gimel, the Mechaber quotes many of the cases that we have. For example, Shin Gimel Hey speaks about the Klila, which the Mechaber ultimately paskins she can go out with. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, because we follow the opinion of our Gemara Rebbe Eliezer that says an Isha Chashuva is not likely to take it off. The Mishnah Berurah there in Sifkata Tezayin does point out, as we pointed out in the Daf Shir, that Isha Chashuv is not a carpal on Cheter, that for other things, V'kosvu HaPoskim, says the Mishnah Berurah in the end of Sifkata Tezayin, D'Bishar Tachshitim Shekol Nashim Regilos Behen, Av Chashur Asas Latzes Behen D'Lo Plug Rabbanim B'Tekantam. So we see even Isha Chashuv will be allowed to go out with the Irshel Zahav of Yerushalayim, but not other things. Sifches Lo Teitze Benizme Af, a woman is not allowed to go out with a nose ring. I did discuss with Rav Nevinzal what the halacha would be if there's hilchos hotzah of a nose ring. I'm not going to elaborate it on now. You could email me at r.eisenstein@yna.edu about those halachos. Let's talk about other cases which are more common. Aval yotza benizme ha'ozen, but she's allowed to go out with earrings. However, the Ramah's explanation for the heter is really not relevant today. Mipnei she'ozneha mechusos, because her ears are covered. U'bemakom she'noagin legalos ha'oznayim, and in places where the women weren't covered as much, and their ears were uncovered, asur latzeis b'nizam she'bozen heicha d'derech lo'tzion misham. It's prohibited to go out with earrings if it's normal to take those earrings out. Let's leave open the question of how we look at earrings today, whether it's considered normal to take out or not, and wait for the end of the Dvar Halacha, and discuss a more broader si'if in Shulchan Aruch that gets to the heart of all jewelry. In Simen Shin Gimel Sif Yud Ches, the Mechaber quotes many who are machmir, based on the Gemara later on Samach Dalid, then not only is it a problem to go out in Rosh Hashanah, it'll even be a problem to go out to a courtyard as well, that's usher to carry, midrabanan, with the jewelry the above mentioned jewelry and many others that you're not allowed to wear al pi dinei the Gemara on Shabbos. Here's a lashon the mechaber. Kol she'asru chacham latzos bo l'rishus harabim, also latzos bo l'chatzar she'en l'revis. Not only can you go out to rishus harabim, you also can't go into a chatzar that is surrounded by walls but has not done a ruve chatzeros. Chutz mikavul, that we've discussed, the kavul is the hat that women often would wear, upeya nachris, as well as a sheitel, so that we're going to be mekel on. But everything else would be prohibited. V'yesh omrim, dekol she'asru latzos bo, afilu iskashe bo bebayis asur. And there's a yesh omrim that says that you can't even wear those things in the house. Continues the mechaber, v'yesh omrim, she'akol motu latzos bo b'chatzah afilu imu reves. And there's some who say that a chatzer, one could be lenient and only in areas that are outside of the chatzer, one needs to be machvir. Then the mechaber gets into bottom line. V'ha'idna nishedida nagu latzeis b'chol tachshitin. And today, women wear all types of tachshitin. The question is, what happened to Perek Bameisha? Was it all torn out from the Shulchan Aruch? What happened to all these halachos? V'yesha amru de medina asura. Some said it was einachanami asur medina. Elakivan shelo yishmu mutav shiushogos valyu mezidos. Since they will not listen, better that they continue doing the avera b'shogeg rather than they do the avera b'mezid. On daf nun hey in the halacha section, we discuss some of the implications of this rule of mutav shiushogos valyu mezidos, but this in of itself is startling. The first opinion of the mechaber is that really women should not be wearing jewelry. That means that a woman in a girls' school where the girls will listen, maybe according to this opinion, they should be taught exactly which jewelry is acceptable and which is not. V'yeshalimdu continues the mechaber aleim schus lomar sheheinoagis kain al pisvar achrona shekasafti shelo asru latzeis betachshit l'chater sheina mureves. It could be, says the mechaber, that we paskin like the final opinion, the most lenient one, that the prohibition is only in rishus harabim. V'hashda the less lom rishus harabim gomur. And today, where we don't have a full fledged rishus harabim, havelei kol rishus harabim shalanu karmelis, we consider every rishus harabim is halachically a karmelis. V'dino kechotzer sheinimu reves umutter. So mechaber says that in places that don't have rishus harabim, it could very well be we follow the most lenient opinion that says it's only usher in rishus harabim mamish, which the Baragola attributes to Tur and Tosvos. So if we follow that opinion, so then we could say that in areas that are not rishus harabim, and the mechaber is going l'shitaso, that in those days they did not have a rishus harabim. We've discussed that sugya in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos, in the halacha section around daf vav or so. And so for individuals that don't have rishus harabim, there could be, we have on the books, the heter that we don't have to worry, for example, about earrings and other jewelry that a woman in the time of Chazal, where we were afraid that she would take off and show to her friends. The Ramah adds another heter. Interestingly, the Mishnah Brura does not comment on this heter at all. V'yesh omrim otam lahatir. And for Ashkenazim, if you will, the Ramah introduces another heter. The achshav shchichei tachshitin. V'yotzim ben af b'chol. It's so common for women to wear jewelry. We don't have to be afraid that a woman's going to show off her jewelry. It's so common. Women wear jewelry only on Shabbos. Nowadays, it's actually a helpful phenomenon, obviously within the bounds of tzniyus, for a woman to wear a little bit of jewelry even during the week, because then we have the Ramah's possible argument. Although we'll see in a moment, Rav Nevenzal is not so happy with it. And that is that today, if a woman wears jewelry throughout the week, it's nothing very, very significant, and she's not likely to take it off and show it to her friends. Rav Nevenzal, an important Ta'aran B'Yitzchak Yikare, points out that the Mechaber's Heter is nebulous today. He says, Avol B'Yameinu Ein La'atir. Boom. For the Mechaber's reason, we don't accept that. Even the Mechaber doesn't need 600,000 people to create a Rishus HaRabim, and it's often going to be that you'll have a Rishus HaRabim. In fact, the Be'er Halacha Dibra Maskel LaHashta points out that the Mechaber seems to be a little bit inconsistent, because the Mechaber earlier in Simen Shimem Hei that we discussed in Daf Vav, Siv Zayin, there seems to say that we do have Rishus HaRabim. And Rav Nevenzel argues, even if you need 600,000, as we discussed in Daf Vav, there are many cities that do have 600,000. Rav Nevenzel is Choshesh that Yerushalayim is even considered a Rishus HaRabim. Certainly, Lahavdil, New York City would be considered a Rishus HaRabim as well. Therefore, Rav Nevenzel feels that to rely on the Heter, the Mechaber, qualifies as a Limud Tzchus, but not something that one should rely on. Number two, he argues, the Ramaz rationale, that today, since it's so common for people to wear jewelry during the week, then we're not afraid that they're going to take off the jewelry and show to their friends. Here, Rav Nevenzel argues that he thinks that the Ramah doesn't apply today. This can be argued, but this is what my great Rebbe says. He claims that in those days, it was common for people to invest, particularly in jewelry. Lo yuchlu kol kach lashkim amonim bikarkos. That's because it's well known that the laws in Europe were so anti-Semitic that Jews couldn't invest in land. This here's Rav Nevenzel putting on a historical hat of observation. They put their money in things that were small. They invest into valuable jewelry. And Jews, it would be common, would have jewelry. Baruch Hashem, today the laws in many countries are not anti-Semitic, and Jews invest in other things as well, in stocks, in real estate. Today it's more of a commodity in the sense that it's more uncommon for people to be wearing jewelry all over themselves, hence they're more likely to show it off. This is Rav Nevenzel's argument. It seems to be, though, that almost across the board, almost all poskim, including the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, as well as even in Bnei Brak, they seem to go with the lenient approach, either relying on the Mechaber or the Ramah, or one could point out the language of the Be'er Halacha and Dibra Maskel Ki Bazeh that seems to be holding that the Be'er Halacha seems to be Choshesh as well for this opinion, because he says, on the language of the Mechaber that they're not likely to listen to us, mashma de ein samchan al tera lalu v'rachel olim chos lehem mishum demutim shiyu shogigin. Sounds like the Mishnah Berurah would be closer to Rav Nevenzel's position about being choshish for it even bizman hazeh. However, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah in Ha'ara 41 quotes the opinion of the Chazon Ish that was quoted in Archos Rabbeinu, that has an interesting formulation. That since the Shulchan Aruch says that women already have become accustomed to do it, so he says that is the halacha, and therefore women are allowed to go out in all instances with jewelry. So it's interesting. The Archas Rabbeinu, which is not known for its kulas, here is more lenient. Take a look at Rav Nissen Karel, Sefer Chutshani, that seems to be lenient only in a chatzer, and not in a Rishus HaRabim, closer to the position of Rav Nevenzel. So this has to be hammered out by Poskim today, whether what Rav Nevenzel felt are far-fetched heterim for the Mechaber and the Ramah, although they're there, the heterim of the Mechaber and Ramah, whether they apply today. One more point, he did tell me, as we go to one practical example, when it comes to the earrings, he said to me the following in regards to earrings. He said, an earring that's a clip-on earring, lishitaso, would be a problem. However, the Ramah did say that also lotzes benizamim shebaozen hecha de derech lo tziyam isham, when the derech is to take it out, then it will be prohibited. So Rav Nevenzahl differentiated between earring that is in the ear because it's the purest ear. Then he argued, even it seemed, if a woman normally takes it out at night before she goes to sleep, nevertheless, he didn't think that that qualifies as derech lo tziyam isham. In contrast to a clip on and clip off earring, easy come, easy go. So then in such a case, we would have the chash. So here we have the general rule. One example, Vashar Zil Gemar. This is the basic introduction to the halachic background, for that matter, to all of Perek Bameh Isha. And if one is Choshesh, then one needs to begin to not only discuss earrings, but all other jewelry as well. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Nuntes on the base.